If I asked you to define a lovely day, an optimal day, a perfect day even, what does that look like to you? For me, it's any day where I can curl up with a book for a little bit, maybe hit the climbing gym, play with my dogs, hang out with my family. But if I did that every single day, it would eventually get hard to pay the bills. So you can't have perfection every day. How do you decide what the trade-offs are? Well, new research from the University of Pennsylvania in the US shows three big things are involved in people experiencing a better than average day. You'll learn more about them in a tick. But in a world where we're encouraged to optimize every inch of our lives, is a perfect day really something we should be striving for? Well, with me is Dr. Dot Dumuy, who is, get this, a time use epidemiologist from Adelaide University. Dot, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. Good morning.
So what does this new research out of the US tell us about how to spend a better than average day?
Well, they've used data from time use surveys. So, you know, asking people in the population what they did in their previous day. And they've come up with three really important deciders on whether you had a good day or an average day. And the three things that they've found was that having time with family, that's really important in deciding whether what kind of day you have. Also, the time you spend socializing and communicating. Mm-hmm. Could be with family or anyone. And then also, this is a funny one, the travel time related to eating and drinking.
So, what? The travel time?
Yes. So how long you spend driving to somewhere where you're going to eat or drink rather than driving to work or, some, you know, to sport or something like that. Yeah.
That is so not what I thought you were going to say. I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, sleep or relaxing or something
like
that.
Really surprising in there. There are actually 20 things that are important and they're ranked from top to, you know, from 1 to 20. And sleep doesn't show up in there, which I'm really surprised about. The working is the fourth one. But so the first three I told you about, if you have more of time with family, more time socializing and more eating, that's like more likely to predict a better than average day. And the fourth one is working. It's really important, but if you do more working, it's likely to predict an average day, not a better than average day.
And what about exercise? Because that's one of the factors.
Yeah, it is there. What does it rank at? Number 12. Oh, that's the travel to exercise. No, it's number 17. Participating in sports, exercise and recreation. So it's quite low down.
Interesting. So I really need to be focusing on the amount of time I spend driving to and from restaurants.
But yeah, doing more exercise is predictive of a better than average day, which is nice. I'm in epidemiology, so we're interested in the health outcomes, not just whether you have a good day, it's whether it's a good day for your health. And we would say time spent in exercise and sport and physical activity is, you know, an important predictor of a good day for your health.
That's an interesting thing I wanted to ask you about. So this is research that was done at the University of Pennsylvania. You weren't involved in it. You're commenting on it from your field of expertise, which as you say is more in the epidemiology side of things. When you look at this research compared to other research that's been done in the past that tries to kind of model a good 24-hour period, what are you seeing here?
Yeah, well, it's not completely different to what we find, there are always common threads, right? But yeah, we usually find that the time people spend being active and active at a higher intensity, so they're puffing, you know, getting the heart rate up a little bit, that's super important for a whole range of health outcomes, you know, for physical outcomes, mental and social as well. So that, and you don't need a lot really of that kind of high intensity activity, but you do need to fit it in somehow. So, you know, even 10 minutes is better than none. But yeah, trying to aim for getting the 30 minutes a day.
You're listening
is the guideline, yeah.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm chatting with Dr. Dot Dumuy, who is a time use epidemiologist from Adelaide University, getting her take on some new research from the University of Pennsylvania that showed what turned an average day into a good day for people using time use data. And there are a couple of big things that are involved in people having a better than average day: time with family, time socializing, crazily time spent driving to and from the place where you're going to eat. Exercise is an important ingredient, as we're hearing Dot say. But I'd love to hear from you on what you try to fit into your day because you know it's going to give you a better day. My number's 1-300-225-576. Give me a call. Tell me about what turns an average day into a good day for you. 1-300-225-576. A couple of people texting me. The British comedian Bill Bailey once said, the definition of a good day was having a cup of tea, a good conversation, and seeing a bird. Well, I'm 2 out of 3 for that already, so that's great. Drew says, my great day is sitting in the sun fishing and listening to ABC radio. Oh, wait, that's what's happening. It's a great day. Well, someone else who has been paying close attention to this research and applying some of the findings in her life is Emma Joyce, a freelance journalist in Sydney. Emma, how are you rating today so far?
Oh, today is definitely average, I'm sorry to say, although this is a highlight.
Good, good. Nice save. What were some of the – you sort of basically tried to live a statistically good day based on this data that Dot outlined to us before. What were some of the rules you brought in over this experiment?
So one of the rules, a really strict rule, was no housework, and another one was no relaxing, which included no watching TV.
That sounds stressful.
It was stressful for me a little bit in the day to make sure that I didn't do either of those things. But it was part of the fabric of making sure that I could work up to 6 hours of paid work. Now, I had the opportunity to do that. That was easy for me to do, but I've got to say it wouldn't have been if I was if I needed to meet certain deadlines or if I needed to have lots of meetings that day or anything. So according to this data, it was about not working more than 6 hours a day. Also up to 4 hours of exercise. I was never going to fit that in on any day, but like on this particular Thursday, I did manage to go for a walk, run, jog. I think witnesses would call it walking, for around an hour. And I genuinely did feel so much better. I saw birds. Bill Bailey was onto something there, but I didn't realize that was going to be such a highlight of my day until I was doing it. And I don't leave the house to walk for leisure often enough. So that's something that from trialing this good day, I want to try and incorporate in my week more often. It's not sustainable for me to do that every day. I don't really have enough control over my time to factor that in always. But one thing that caused me a lot of stress was actively socializing between 30 minutes and 2 hours. So no more than 2 hours. I wasn't allowed to spend 2 hours and 5 minutes with friends. It had to be between 30 minutes and 2 hours. I'm finding that on a weekday, I have a 3-year-old as well. So trying to find friends where I could hang out with my 3-year-old and them somewhere where everyone would be safe and everyone would be fed was tricky to coordinate in my day. But I would also say that being stressed throughout my day was kind of normal, but actually adding in all of these different factors did make me feel cumulatively at the end of the day, I was like, that was actually a better than average day. That was a good day. I felt great. I had spoken to friends, offloaded some worries with them. I'd ignored dirty dishes in my sink, even though that made my eyes twitch. I'm usually quite a tidy person. And I had worked and I enjoy working, but I had made sure that I capped it at 6 hours. And I was permitted to do that. And I also spent a lovely 90 minutes at the pub catching up with friends in the end. But I was exhausted, I've got to say. That was the other thing. In order to make my day really, really good, I had to focus on how I spent my time. I couldn't doom scroll. In the evening, I couldn't just switch on the TV and hope for an episode of Bluey to make parenting a bit easier in the evening. So it was something that I want to do in the future, but I know that I wouldn't be able to achieve it every day.
That's a really interesting insight. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. Tony, you think a perfect day actually starts the night before.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Hello, Tegan. A good night's sleep. Wonderful. And last night happened to be one. It was lovely. And then a walk around beautiful Shores Bay area of Ballina with my dog, which is just finished.
A good night's sleep and a walk around Ballina with a dog sounds like a beautiful start to the day, Tony. Thank you for the call. Nigel, you've got a quick tip to set yourself up for a perfect day too.
G'day, Tegan, and good morning to all the listeners. A perfect day for me is where I don't forget to go through my gratitude list first thing in the morning. So for me, what's a gratitude list? It could be just being grateful for simple things such as your health. Then you could go even deeper into that. Be grateful for your vision, your hearing, your ability to walk, you know, things that we take for granted. Then you want to go outside of that, beyond that, and be grateful for the relationships you have in your life. And normally my only daughter comes into play. I go, I'm so grateful for her and her health. And then I think about other loved ones. Mum and dad are still alive. I'm grateful for that. And then you can be grateful for the fact that you have a job and that you have an income and you have food on the table. And you spend 5 minutes. That's all it takes. First thing in the morning, and you can meditate on it as well if you wish. And you just get out of bed with that extra skip in your step. And this is something I've only been doing for 6 months and I've never been happier. But when I forget to go through my gratitude list, maybe my day is not so perfect.
Nigel, you sound like such a happy person. That's such a beautiful insight that you've brought there. Dot, listening to the tips that those two people have brought forward and what Emma has described, how does that fit with your understanding of what this research is aiming for?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's wonderful to hear what the listeners are saying, and I completely agree, and the research agrees to the importance of sleep and also the physical activity. And in the context of that physical activity, not walking to work along like a major arterial road, but walking with the dog in a beautiful location, like that's what we find also for like many health indicators. That's a real positive. The gratefulness one, that, you know, we don't even measure that kind of thing in a lot of our surveys. So we would be more objective with how people spend their time. Like, are they sitting, sleeping, standing, exercising? But that's a really good point. Like, what are people doing when they're sitting or lying and thinking? And what, yeah, that kind of aspect is really interesting, and I don't think we've really thought about that.
You need to give Nigel a call and get him to talk you through that for a future research project, great. Maybe.
Yeah.
So, Emma.
Yeah, I'm sure lying there being grateful is better than lying there stressing about the day, right?
That's so true. Exactly. I guess it's the activity you're doing within that activity. And, Emma, I'm interested to pick up on sort of the amount of work it took for you to kind of shoehorn optimization into a day. And maybe what you tried to take from that, because that did not sound sustainable, especially leaving your dishes in the sink every day.
Oh, it absolutely wasn't. I mean, I had to prepare my partner in advance that I wasn't going to be doing any housework, just so that didn't escalate into some sort of mini drama in our lives.
Yeah, I'm having a good day, so you have to have a bad one.
Yeah, I can't live in dirty sheets or eat off dirty plates. I need to contribute to the household. And I think that I do actually think that does contribute to having a good day in my life anyway. It's a lot of it was also about novelty, I think. So I don't go for a walk by the water every day, but I did on this day. And that was something that made me recognize my surroundings. And maybe talking about that gratitude element of it, I could recognize that I was grateful for that moment in the moment. Otherwise, it might have been quite a mundane walk around the Oval that I'm very familiar with, and maybe I wouldn't have taken in my surroundings as much. But there was some element to it that could have caused me more stress, especially, I think, when we talk about optimizing our days and optimizing our lives, I think it feels only natural that we want to strive to have a good life and for elements about our lives to be better than they are. But if it is causing stress and anxiety, which, for example, today, I'm not going to achieve any of those things that I achieved on that day that I had a good day. it probably won't result in a very bad day either. Like, I will be quite happy and comfortable with the fact that I didn't reach out to friends and go to the pub with my child and we just ate at home. That will bring me a different sort of calmness and happiness as well. So I think if something is causing you stress and anxiety to have this pursuit of a good day every day, then you'd have to think about the trade-off.
Yeah, Dot, how can we balance this when you mentioned the data about what's good for our health, the sort of amounts of physical activity that we need, the sort of amount of sleep that we need, all of the health facets here. 24 hours is often not long enough to tick all of these boxes every day.
Yeah, that's true. And we're not robots. We can't say, you know, we're going to do this exact schedule every single day. And also what's best for one person isn't best necessarily for another person. So, you know, these recommendations from this article are based on the population average, but there's a lot of variation, and also many different combinations of activities could produce just a good a day. So, you know, there's a lot of nuance and variation that the research doesn't really go into. And also, yeah, we have our life that we have to live, and there's non-negotiable things that we have to do that needs to happen and fit into those days. But there are a few, I think, ingredients that we can try to aim for and every day, and that would be to get some exercise. And a great way to do that is just to go outside. I mean, if you don't go outside, you're not going to see birds. So I think if you just spend time outside, just some time outside, you'll probably not do those things that are bad for your health or for your well-being, like scrolling on your phone or just, you know, yeah, stewing on things that stress you out. I think going outside opens your horizons, and yeah, you might see birds, and it will, I'm sure having that outside time gives you a better day and gives you opportunity to do physical activity. Mm. But also, yeah, no, being able to talk to somebody, ensure that you know, have, it's hard saying make sure you get enough sleep, because that can stress you out and then you won't sleep. But having some sort of routine with, you know, going to bed at a certain time and getting up at a certain time and trying to keep that constant as much as you can around daily life. Yeah.
Exercise, get enough sleep. You mentioned social media use before, and Emma sort of mentioned having to kind of stop that, maybe default to sitting down and scrolling for a bit. What do we know about how much time we spend on social media and what that's doing for us?
Yeah, it's such a common use of time nowadays, and we actually don't have a lot of research on it because we're not that good at measuring how long people spend on social media. It's our research hasn't really caught up with this development that's happened, which is a huge shift in the world, like in how people use their time. In this Time You survey that these recommendations are from, actually don't have an item about social media. It gets lumped into using TV or computers for leisure. So they still don't have a way to measure social media time, but we know that it's increased exponentially. In a survey, the census that happens in South Australian schools, the social media use has tripled. So, and we know that it's the same for adults. I'm guilty of, you know, using a lot of social media, and it takes so much of your time. So then you have less time left in your day to do all the other things you have to do. Well, it sucks out so much time.
You're sending me some beautiful texts about this. Powering through jobs I've been putting off for ages, it says one person. Jill says, one thing that gives me a good day is appreciating nature or getting out into the garden. Forest bathing is something that I try and do every week. Linda says, anytime alone, 40 years married, 40 of those both sleeping, eating and working together, I really try hard to set time alone. And one says, brekkie beers. If your level of responsibility for the day allows for brekkie beers, it's a good day. Emma, is there anything that you've tried to incorporate daily since your experiment? It may or may not be brekkie beers.
It definitely can't be brekkie beers. I feel like I have too many responsibilities. One of them being a three-year-old, but just that would just go down very badly in my household. Well, very, very briefly on the sleep thing, I would also say it's so interesting that that's not included because I've slept poorly for many years, as you could imagine. But it didn't impact how I felt about my day at all. One thing I have taken into my day is purely that being slightly more aware or intentional about how I'm spending it. So if I am going to go on social media, just really clocking in with myself, like, have I sat here for an hour? Because that's not going to make me feel good. And is it at the detriment of my health, for example, going outside or having a walk? So I'm just more aware of it. I'm more conscious. I haven't specifically picked an activity that I will do every day, but I have decided that throughout my week, I want to try and achieve one good day a week, which will happen for me more towards the end of the week because I need to work more than 6 hours a day at the front end of the week so that I can pay my bills, as you mentioned, right at the top of this whole segment.
Well, Mari's called in. Mari, what's your formula for a great day?
Hi, thanks for listening. I've been really enjoying hearing what you're saying. Definitely some sunshine, some time in nature, some exercise, some good food, some company with people who I care about, but at the end of the day, more good things that have happened than have bad.
Mari, it feels like you might be the researchers behind that University of Pennsylvania study. You couldn't have summed it up better. Thank you so much for the call. And thank you, Dot and Emma, for sharing your insights as well. Dr. Dot Dumwe is a time use epidemiologist from Adelaide University. Emma Joyce is a freelance journalist who experimented with new rules around what constitutes a good day.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.